Blog Talk Radio.
Night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Dog Pound with K9 Bundridge. Oh my goodness, talk about a great weekend of boxing. Yes, we saw it happen once again. We'll be talking about the big heavyweight fight with the former heavyweight champion himself, Mr. Layman Relentless Brewster. We'll also talk about some of the USA boxing and also what's happening down in Baltimore with Mr. Jake Smith. So this is our Thanksgiving show. We're glad to have you here with us. And let's get this show started. I'm going to get the former heavyweight champ, Mr. Layman Brewster, on the phone. And we're going to talk about what happened this weekend, his comments on the performance of Mr. Deontay Wilder. Also, talk a little bit about the upcoming bout on February 22nd, the rematch again with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. But right now, let's talk to Champ. Champ, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing great.
Oh, man. Hey, it's good to have you on a Tuesday night, especially just before Thanksgiving. It's a treat for our listeners here on Dog Pound. We usually have you on Sunday, but Champ, hey man, I've been hearing some terrible things about that weather back there, man. What's going on?
Oh man, listen, you said weather, man. We wow, it's been in the 30s and the 40s for the last wow. It's been this way for a couple of weeks. I mean, it's like it went from summer to winter. We didn't really have a fall. I'm not considering this fall because this is winter type of weather.
Man, I'm telling you, that they've been talking about, there's a big, it's supposed to go 2,000 miles from California all the way back east. But, I know you need that summer home back here in L.A., man. You know,
I need that permanent home. That's what I need. And I really feel like I'm inching closer to that, man. Like I say, man, anybody know me, I'm a spiritual person, man, and I just feel like God wanted me to come back this way. And since I've been back here, man, I've been able to really see, like, in this boxing world, the mentality of these kids, man. And, I just wonder if it's, like, around the entire country. It's like I see kids that just need people like you and me to just try to inspire them, man. Like, we have some uninspired kids, and it's like their definition of success is like Floyd Mayweather, and rightfully so. But the thing that they fail to realize is everything Mayweather did and went through to get there, it's the journey. And these fighters back here, man, they only see the glitz and the glamour, but they don't see the hammer,
That's very, very well put. While I was thinking about the show, I was actually going through a couple of things here, and there's a couple of tweets, and I don't usually put a whole lot into tweets, but the first one was from J-Rock. And J-Rock wrote this, Layman. He said, watching film on Overcar, who was a terrific fighter but never won a title due to the killer era he was in. I say that boxing is watering down what it means to be a world champion by having fighters that aren't good enough to be the best win BS titles and call them world champions. What do you think about that, Landon?
Well, so what I'm trying to understand is he's saying initially and ultimately is he saying that there are too many titles? Or is he saying, yeah, I mean, it's like what? I was trying to, like, when I was listening to you, when you were speaking about him, I was just trying to understand where he was coming from and why he would say something like that. And I listened, and at the end, when you said that, it's like it really sounded like his biggest complaint is that he feel there are too many belts out there that they're fighting for, because if you eliminate some of those belts, then you're going to force the cream of the crop to now fight each other, and that is going to make the sport stronger. But in making the sport stronger, you're going to lose fans, because now fans are now following not necessarily who is the best fighters now, but also the fighters who got, like, the biggest Twitter pages and Facebook and, you know, social media. You know, like, it's a fad, it's a thing to do. So, you know, I try to look at it from the pro and the con. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm definitely thinking the same thing. To me, what J-Rock is saying, you know, and I've been saying it for quite some time, why do we need a diamond, a 10, a gold, a U champ? We have too many championships. I mean, you know, when we had three major belts or four major belts, that's fine. But when you start watering down, I mean, come on, you got Canelo. What kind of champ? You, I mean, some kind of belt that the sanctioning body made up, and I mean, what is he? Is he the pound for pound pound champion? Is he the Ring Magazine unilateral champion? You got Tyson Fury out there saying that he's a unilateral champion. I mean, Layman, we didn't have all this confusion when you were world champion.
Okay, JK. Now, I'm glad you asked me that question, because the first thing you said was we. Now, I'm going to break this down to you. In your era, you know fighters that fought in boxing because they wanted to be world champions, and they knew in being world champions it would bring them fame and success. Well, that was good, and that's what people wanted, and that's what the promoters wanted. But then, as boxing evolved, when other countries start being able to fight, like Russia and countries, you know, where you could only fight as an amateur, so now you have promoters out there saying, listen, America's always been the top, but it's just hard for us to get our fighters because they don't have the sparring. They don't have the training knowledge, you know. But the point I'm making is that these promoters can start promoting fights and start making money, and then because they can't get those belts. Now, here's the thing. The competition, WBA, WBC, WBO, IBF, now you got people out there saying, look, I don't have that belt, but I can give you this belt, and you can be the first, and you can make it popular. So now these major organizations, the four major organizations that I just told you about, they say, wow, if we don't do something to allow our organization to keep our fans, they're going to go over to WXYZ, ABC. So it was necessary from a financial standpoint and the, you know, just as a promoter, as an organization. So boxing had to spread its wings a little wider and accept fighters that hold now, you know, fighters coming from other countries who had Mickey Mouse belts in their countries. And if we don't make a belt that would also accommodate that person that acknowledged them, well, then his whole country is going to go in the next direction because the next man is thinking like the next man. And so if you break it down, then what I'm saying to you is necessary to have those many belts today because in your era, it was never any type of competition because of the other countries couldn't fight. But now in this new era, these countries can fight, and so they want to be champions. And these Mickey Mouse promoters are like, well, I'll get you. We'll make you a belt. So do you understand that? Because today it's like, man, all these countries, China, Japan, Russia, you know, countries which never really had the chance to compete with America.
I got my co-host on here, Layman. I'm two-time world champion, Mr. K-9 Bundish. K-9, what's going on?
Hey, James, what's happening, y'all? What's up, Brewster? What's up, champ?
Yeah, so what's up with you, family? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm all right, man. I hear y'all talking about all the lineal champions and the super champions and the triple champions, the triple threat champions, the neighborhood champions.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on. Right, yeah.
And that's why I wanted to run it down the way I did because I want JK.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if he could understand it from where I'm coming from because I deal with these millennials. And it's like they have another way of seeing life.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's just another way that, you know, the government bodies can make more money. Yeah, they got these belts. I mean, all kind of belts. They got 100,000 belts, man. So you the regular champion, you the super champion, you the special champion, you the organization champion. I like, out of all of them, to be honest with you, I like being the people's champion. Because at the end of the day, them the ones that's going to be helping you get that money, and they paying your check. They giving you that check. So the people's champion, you always can be that. You know what I mean? Because inside the ring, it's one thing, but outside the ring, it's another.
Yes, Layman, I also, you know, I've been asking a lot of our guests about the press conference between Tony Harrison and Jamal Charlo. And I had my own points of view about it, especially, you know, I know that there is a lot of fuel, you know, going into this. There's, you know, two gentlemen that obviously don't like each other. But I thought that maybe they went a little too far. And I'm not going to say that for me because, you know, hey, you know, coming up in the air that I came up in, you know, we had Mike Tyson, Mitch Green, we had all those guys, you know, talking trash and whatnot. But it was still kind of respectful. I mean, you didn't go, you know, bitches, hoes, and, you know, the N-word and all that, you know, where I enjoyed it and you know, going back to the original savagery of the sport. But in today's climate, do you think that was appropriate?
Okay, well, I didn't get to see all of it. I kind of read a little bit about it, but I don't think that I'm qualified to give that answer because, like, I didn't get to see everything that occurred. So, K-9, if you know, or if you got to see it, or if you want to brief me in, like, on like, everything that took place, I would be more than willing to listen.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the breakdown. The breakdown is going back to the first fight. Going back to the first fight, it was mutual respect for each other, right? Once Charlo, you know, didn't get the victory, or once Tony Harrison became the new world champion, the word was from Charlo that Tony Harrison had told him that he really wanted to fight. So Tony said that he felt that was, like, terrible that he would even say that because he didn't say that. So from there on out, it was bad blood. At first, it was just business, but after Tony, you know, said that Charlo lied on him, and Charlo said that Tony Harrison said that he was the champion, he really won, it was bad blood from there on out. So now, fast forward, we're in the press conference, and Charlo trying to put his chest out there, talking about some, boy, you already said that I won, and I'm going to beat you again, and you got knocked down and hurt, you got knocked down in training camp, and you scared to fight me, and you told me yourself that you faked the injury. So there was a lot going on. And Tony, you know, coming from Detroit, you know, growing up, you know, in the hood, the hood came out of him. Nah, bro, it ain't nothing like that. You ain't nothing but a cornball. He said, you ain't nothing but a cornball, and I'm a cuss words you up. So that thing, that led to that. And from there on out, it was just straight like that. It was war outside the ring.
Wow. For real?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
So the way they're promoting the fight, I feel like they should be on pay-per-view. They should make more money than what they're making because a lot of people are going to tune in just because it's like real beef there, you know?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So they actually they actually helping to promote the fight. I mean, more than the promoters. So,
exactly.
I mean, if they not, this is I want to see, I've been wanting to see it, but me, James, the people in Detroit, the people in Houston, they did such a good job in promoting the fight, and it was real, wasn't nothing fake about it, that they even showed a clipping, you know, promoting the fight on a Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz undercard. They showed a highlight, or they showed like they promoted it. So that's more press that they got, and they're not going to make a penny extra from promoting it the way they did. I mean, it was real, but I feel like they should get even more. I feel like Tony Harrison and Jermell Charles should go back to Al Heyman and say, listen, bro, everybody hitting me up, somebody they coming to the fight. They talking about somebody want to see the fight. They can't wait for me to whoop his tail. And Charles can say, man, they talking about they can't wait for me to whoop his tail. And they saying, man, come on, the odds is this, and they betting in Vegas, and they say that should get 200, 300 more thousand apiece because of that.
Well, trust and believe, Al Heyman is the smartest man in all of boxing. Trust and believe.
I believe that.
And if he thinks that it's going to make money, trust and believe, he ain't going to leave no food on the table, baby.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That's why those two probably should eat more. They should be able to eat a little bit more because of that. But, you know, the winner going to eat more regardless. And just like on the contender, the loser will go home. But at the end of the day, if the loser don't lose too bad and you know, be a good sport about it, they can come back and fight, you know, one of these other fighters that Al Heyman got, since he got all the top junior middleweights. So, you know, it's a win-win situation regardless, I believe.
No doubt.
As long as nobody get knocked all the way out, because, you know, you can make yourself look real bad when you're talking a lot of trash and you go out there and stank the place up. They're going to hit you in the head with a loaf of bread. So if you're going to bark, you better bite. Because you know my slogan, don't bark if you can't bite.
That's true.
At the end of the day.
Champ, we just saw Deontay Wilder and Ruiz too as the heavyweight champ. Why don't you give us the breakdown of what you saw? in that fight?
Okay, so, wow, man. So I'm gonna try not to go deep, right? first of all, going into this fight, for Deontay Wilder to challenge the best heavyweight in the heavyweight division in the world that don't have a title, for the champion of all the world belt holders to challenge the baddest dude that, without a title, and then to come into the fight and then did not go out looking for, he didn't go out there looking for the knockout. He went out there trying to establish his jab, really just trying to gain as many points as he could, as if it was an amateur fight, just to keep the points up, keep the points up, keep the points up. He kept turning them. He kept turning them. He kept turning them. And then to take him into the deep waters and make him make the mistake that they knew he was going to make, and to throw the right hand and to throw it with such accuracy, man, listen, dude, I give all praises for that brother, because he's a black man. You hear me? Like, I'm proud to say I have a nigga heavyweight champion of the world. You hear me? Because that is what a real champion would do. And so I'm just saying that, speaking as a fan of his. And, you know, it ain't about because I'm a champion. It's because I love boxing. You hear me? And to see a brother, and he's a dark-skinned brother, and, you know, it's a black eye in boxing where they don't like to talk about it, man. You know, but dark-skinned fighters never get the light that a lighter-complected fighter would get. And it's not – It ain't even black and white. I'm talking about light-skinned black men and dark-skinned black men, you know. And, you know, but all colors, just anything other than dark, you know. But where I'm going with this, man, is after the fight, I was trying to see how he was going to carry himself. And, of course, he showed his excitement and everything like he should, but he did it as a gentleman and with respect. And if you notice, even when he left out, like, he had a humble spirit about him. And it's just, man, I love boxing, but I love what the men in boxing has done for my people. And it's, in my opinion, it's been a long time since we had a guy that I feel in the heavyweight division can have the same fame if he continues with his humbleness and being for his people, since Muhammad Ali. And his record speaks to it, because look at everybody that he fought and look at how he came into the sport and how he's grown. I was just looking at his first fight today, which I've never even seen, but today they showed I saw the first, a little kid I trained named Jack Alter, man. This dude's an incredible boxing fan, big Triple G fan. And he was showing me the first round the first fight of Deontay Wilder with, yeah, of course, first round, and his second fight. And, man, what I saw was a dude that looked like he had been in a boxing gym for about 6 weeks. And somebody said, you can make some money. And threw him in the ring after he had did 6 weeks of throwing a jab in right hand. And that's the way it looked like. But if you watch every time he fought, he got a little better. You know what I mean? And it's like, man, to see this dude go from being a caterpillar and becoming a butterfly, dude, I love this sport of boxing, because it's been able to give people like myself the opportunity to go places and see things and meet, just spread my wings and fly away from my beginnings. And so Deontay Wilder, I think that he is somebody that black people and everybody, because he's a positive man. You know, he took care of his daughter who had whatever spiffle, whatever you call it. But the point I'm making is that, yes, sir, thank you. The point I'm making is just that he's shown himself, he's proven himself to be somebody that our people need to look up to, and we need to hold him responsible, because we don't need him going out there and acting like a fool. We need to let him know that we are looking to him, because a lot of our families, a lot of our mothers, our children don't have fathers in the home. And so we need to get behind this brother and support him like we did Muhammad Ali, like we did Jack Johnson, Joe Frazier, all the people that we supported in the past. He's the brother that I feel in my spirit as a heavyweight champion and as a man of God. I believe that's what we as black people need. We need leaders within our communities, and he's somebody we should look up to, because look at his whole career and look at how he's carried himself. Excuse me. I can't say enough about the brother, because I'm proud of this brother just to watch him rise to this level, especially after seeing his first fight today and how wild he used to be. And then, like, in this fight, he just really looked poised. He was so patient. And it was such a picture-perfect right hand, just like Dominique Brazil and everybody else that he had knocked out, man. And it's like, if you don't give this man his props, it ain't necessarily – we can always find something bad to say about a person. But when a man is he's continually, repeatedly passed the test that was given to him. If you still can't find something good to say about this brother, well, then it's just because, and it's my opinion, it's just because you are a negative person. Because this brother, man, I'm just so proud of this dude, man, because he's what a heavyweight champion is. He dresses nice. You don't hear about him getting in too much trouble. But, you know, who's next? I mean, think about these other champions out here. I mean, who do you think can oppose this dude? None of these champions, and you know it, and I know it.
Well, Layman, now he is scheduled to fight February 22nd, him and Tyson Fury. Layman, he just fought, last week. So, I mean, is February, what do you think? Is that enough preparation? What do you think about such a quick date?
Personally, I think it's perfect as long as he don't have any injuries. If he don't have any injuries, I think it's perfect for him, because the more a man does something, the better he is at it. So him coming off of a fight versus being laid off for, like a year, 2 years, something like that. Like a lot of champions, they don't fight as often. You know, when you don't have a title, you fight more. But this is like him not having a title. Him coming right, turning right back around and fighting, and then it's great that he's fighting a southpaw, because, you know, fighting a guy like Tyson Fury, he's an awkward fighter. Fighting a southpaw is an awkward fighter. So he's still going to be looking at fighting somebody awkward, and is him already not being rusty or anything. And with this confidence and this momentum, it's just going to make him that much better, because he got the legendary Mark Breland, who you are now seeing. Like, if you look at Deontay's style, he's kind of morphing into the style of Mark Breland. If you look at, like, the way his body was pausing at times, it looked a lot like Mark Breland. But, I just forgot what I was saying. Well, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, JK. What was I just saying before that?
You was talking about Mark Breland, and you were talking about starting to grow. You start to show his style like Mark Breland.
Absolutely. That jab cross, that 1-2. That stick and move. Yeah. Kind of like Tommy Hearns, that jab in that right hand.
Man, beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so, and then, you know, people, like somebody said to me, they said, well, you know, he ain't got the skills. And I'm like, hold on. Boxing ain't always about skills, because what you lack in certain areas, you have strengths in other areas. And for him, okay, maybe, you know, for one, his jab looked very educated. For two, he was throwing some great body shots when he was stepping in. For three, we already know what his right hand would do. But the point is, the man is continually getting better and better and better. But when people say things like, oh, well, you know, he's not as skilled, like, but he's heavyweight champion of the world. And you don't always win fights because you have the best skills. You win fights because you have the whole package. And within that package, you can mix the right ingredients and have the perfect cake.
Hey, makes sense to me. K9, I promised Lamy we wouldn't keep him too long, but you have some questions, observations, or just some conversations you want to have with champ, champ to champ.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to say it's a pleasure have you on tonight, because, you know, you actually breaking down, like, you know, like how it should be broken down. You break it down, like, the situation with him fighting against Luis Ortiz. With him being a southpaw, I try to tell you the same thing. That's actually a perfect opponent to be getting ready for Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury is all over the place, and a southpaw is just like fighting somebody that's all over the place, because it's a different kind of look. So I'm just happy that you was actually on the show to break it down the way I would have broke it down, and I see why you're a champ, and I know why I'm a champ, and I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy for the fans to be able to hear it from another champion, because I believe no one can break down boxing better than JK and a champion. You know what I'm saying? Lamont Brewster, K9, just champion creator. That's why I'm happy to see commentators like you know, like Sergio Mora and Paulie Malignaggi, because we know the sport of boxing versus someone like, you know, Bernstein, which is a good commentator. He's a good commentator, but he's not a better commentator than Antonio Tarver, someone that's actually done it. I mean, he has an experience, so he learned from a lot of the guys that actually fought. For instance, Emmanuel Stewart was super great when it came to commentating. Why? Because Emmanuel Stewart used to fight. He didn't turn pro, but he was a fighter and he was a trainer. He was in the sport of boxing. That's why I respect the NBA so much, because after the basketball players retire, they get jobs and they work for who? The NBA. So you got the best person to actually commentate or get a play-by-play, because they actually play basketball. They was in the NBA. So it's just, you know, I appreciate you, man. You know, keep giving these young people or old people or people, period, that knowledge.
Yeah, I just want to say, dude, all praises, man. I really love listening to you talk, my brother, and I was just thinking to myself, like, wow, I feel comfortable getting off the phone, because I know everything that I want to say, K9 gonna say, because you are definitely on the same page as me. So all praises, my brother, and I thank you for just, you know, that knowledge you dropped, man, because that's what it's all about, man. It's like each one teach one. And so for me to talk to you, I got to talk to you with the thought of spreading the seed of knowledge and wisdom to you. So I feel good, because that's exactly what you did, man. You feed the people, man. I love that knowledge you dropped. So thank you, my brother. And, you know, thank you, JK, man. Thank you for allowing me to come on the show. Bless the show. I love you, JK, man. I just, like I told you, man, you the OG. You know, you my big brother, man, and I'm always going to be here for you. And thank you, brother. All praises, man. And, you know, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever else, man. Just Layman Brewster. It's only one. Relentless, baby. I'm out.
All right. All right. Cheers. Sam, hit him with the right.
All right, that was the champ, Layman Brewster, man. I thought we'd have a heavyweight in to evaluate the heavyweight championship. And I knew he wanted to talk about Deontay Wilder, so I made a special point to get him on tonight. But K-9, what's been going on, man?
Oh, man, you know what? And it's just been, you know, kind of like the same old, you know, Detroit. You know, it's a sport, you know, that loves boxing. So we just had a show over the weekend. So I had a fighter who fought. Unfortunately, he didn't win, but at least he fought. You know what I'm saying? He didn't get hurt, seriously hurt, anything like that. But he fought. So he was able to, you know, get him a little check and, you know, just in time for Christmas. So, and I had another young man who played with the Detroit Lions, right? He played with the Detroit Lions, a former NFL football player, Alex Lewis. So Alex Lewis had his first pro fight, and he knocked the guy out in the second round. Oh, my goodness, man, this guy right here could be a world champion. But I don't think Alex actually really wants to be a boxer. He just loves the sport of boxing, and he just had to go pro. So shout out to Alex Lewis and the Detroit Lions. He's the only Lion that I know that's winning right now. And I ain't lying.
Yeah. Mr. Jake Smith. Those of you that know, Jake does a lot of great work down there in Baltimore, both amateur and a pro level. Jake, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah. It sounds like the show's going real good right now.
Oh, that's good, yeah, man. It's about to get better because you on the line now. It's going to get better.
Yeah, there we go.
We're going to keep winning.
Yes, indeed, man. So where am I? I'm catching me up with everything. Where we at right now?
Well, we just had to
go ahead, K-9. You can catch him up.
Yeah, man, you always hogging, boy. Listen, why are you hogging? And it's about to be turkey. It's about to be turkey day, and you want to act like a hog. We ain't messing with pig right now. Yeah, but anyway, James, my dog, though, for real. But no, what we talking about? We was talking about the heavyweight division and what Deontay Wilder is doing to these opponents of his. I mean, with a record of 42-0 with 41 knockouts, outstanding. You know what I mean? I believe he probably the hardest puncher in boxing history, not just heavyweight history, but boxing history. Nobody has that kind of record, like 41-0 with 40 knockouts. I mean, let me rewind that. 42-0 with 41 knockouts. Man,
he's unbelievable, man. He can crack. He can definitely crack. He's very impressive, man. And you can't blink when he's fighting because you don't know when he's going to knock you out, when he's going to knock somebody out.
Reminds me of Mike Tyson. You better not go and get no popcorn or blink. It's over with.
Nope. Don't go to the bar. Get the waitress to wait on you.
Don't go to the bar. Don't drink and drive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're right. So, I mean, you know.
I like that Andy Ruiz, man. He's slick. He's a slick little heavyweight right now.
Yeah, absolutely. He actually proves that, you know, looks are deceiving or don't judge a book by its cover. Because he don't like
no question.
Do
yep.
Like,
yeah, you got that right. Oh
boy,
my gosh.
Pillsboy, the dope boy, Pillsboy, dope boy. He kept that little look, man, kind of like Butterbean. Well, that
yeah.
don't mean nothing. He shocked the world. Now, I
yes,
want to ask
did,
you a
man.
Question though. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask JK a question. Do you think that fight, him beating Anthony Joshua, and I know y'all gonna probably say Tyson beating Buster Douglas, or Buster Douglas beating Tyson, was the biggest upset of all time. But I would have to say that Andy Ruiz Jr. beating Anthony Joshua probably is the upset of all time, the biggest upset of all time. Now, I'm going to give you my reasons. Mike Tyson, even though he was destructive, and nobody thought that he could lose to anybody, or Buster Douglas did have a built body. He looked like he had a chance that could, you know, to beat Mike Tyson. At least he looked like a boxer. Andy Ruiz Jr. did not look like a boxer. He looked like somebody that was at the bar every day, all day. And he went out there, man, and shocked the world. I'm talking about not in 1995. We're talking about in 2019. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he messed some money up. He messed a lot of money
his
up.
His amateur background spoke for itself, though. He was an incredible amateur, man. He and he was also doing it in the pros. I mean, I tried to go
That's
to
true.
Delaware and tried to lay a bet on that fight, and they wouldn't take the bets for heavyweight division. I don't know why, because I liked Andy Ruiz a lot in that fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, like, reason why – I'm telling you, another reason why I believe that was the upset, the biggest upset probably – I'm just saying probably of all time is because this man, they handpicked him. Big Baby Miller failed a drug test. So they said, oh, we just get you somebody you can just go ahead and knock off, and we're going to go right back to the U.K. Man, they picked this guy short notice. Even Joshua put his hands down. He probably said, oh, man, he probably didn't do too much of nothing. He said, okay, we're going to fight him. And pop, he gets dropped. And not only does he get dropped, he gets stopped. I mean, I'm telling you, man, that was a huge – if it ain't number one, it's definitely number two, the biggest upset of all time.
I can go with you on number two. I couldn't believe that happened when that happened, man.
Yeah.
Everybody knows where they were when that fight happened, man.
Absolutely. Maybe I'm just feeling that fight right now with Anthony Joshua versus Andy Ruiz because there's way more money on the table. Back then in those days, you know, Tyson, probably the most he made was $25 million in one fight, which is still a whole lot. But we talking about Anthony Joshua, who has more followers than you know Deontay Wilder. We have a young man like a young king over in UK that when he fights, 100,000 people come and see him fight. Let me rewind that one time. 100,000 people come and see him fight. So he's
That's
huge.
Crazy.
And so for him to lose, you know, you would think for sure that Eddie Hearn and we're gonna put him in there with somebody that had messed that money up because now he's on the outside looking in now. Now he can't sit there and say, I'm the boss. And when it comes to him fighting against Deontay Wilder, they got to split it 50-50, or he might be 60-40 now. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder done passed him up.
He's got to get by Andy Ruiz the second time. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I would bet you 10 push-ups that he would win the fight. Just because I think he's going to stick and move. If he stick and move, if he go to a decision and he don't get knocked out, I think there's too much money on the table for them not to give it to Anthony Joshua.
I think we're going to see the same thing happen last time, except for Ruiz isn't going to get knocked down. I think he's got confidence.
I'm going to have you on FaceTime. 10, come on. Come on, sit down.
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, JK, you wanted to give me that bet too?
Well, it's only because I'm a much older guy than both of you. So my number one up would be
Sonny. We'll make you five push-ups.
Absolutely. We'll make it five. Huh?
Okay, we'll make it five. But I would say it was Cassius Clay when he beat Sonny Liston. And I'm talking about the first fight, not the second one, the first fight.
Okay.
You're going way
back.
I can't see that. Maybe Ali beating Foreman was another hyped up.
That was a big upset too. Yeah, that would be my number two, Zaire, the big fight in Zaire. But you're right, Anthony Joshua and Ruiz would be right up there, probably in my number
top five.
Three. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, y'all forgetting another big one, a major one. This one might be number two. You know, since we're talking about number two, what about when Leon Spinks, with only 7 pro fights, beat Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, but Ali was on his way out then.
Yeah.
He still beat Muhammad Ali. If he was on his way out, he came back and got the title back. So he still has some left. He won in a rematch.
Yeah, but like he said, that was, you know, I mean, the Tyson knockout would be, you know, up there with me before that one.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but hey, you know, but look, like I said, you know, I probably got about, you know, 30 years on UK9 and 20 on stage. You know?
Right.
Yeah. He was back in them Harry Tubman days.
you know, I'm just Kuta trying to Kente. make you. Yeah. But Jake, what's happening down there? I know K-9, he's getting ready for Lake Charles and the big Olympic trials down there. What's going on in Baltimore? Any guys we should be looking at down there?
I got a kid, Deshaun Chase. He's a badass welterweight. He's lost to I can't think of the kid's name that's beat him in the amateurs, but he's lost to him twice. And I think the kid that beat him is like number one. He's in the top four anyway. And Deshaun's a badass. He's looking real good. We got a football an ex NFL football player, Walter Saunders, who's doing pretty good in amateur boxing right now. They're the two kids. I got a card tomorrow night at the casino, man. I scored the casino for amateur fights, and I don't think I'm going to be sold out tomorrow night.
I
do it every year for like 16 years. I've been doing it.
That's wonderful.
Casino, right?
Yeah, it's in the Horseshoe Casino in Baltimore. And these two kids are headlining it, two different fights. But yeah, man, they're big draws, and people really like to see them. So they're up and coming. Of course, we got Tank and then Truck. We got some badasses coming up here, world champions, soon to be world champion with Truck.
What did you think about the matchup, Tank and Gervonta? I mean, Tank and
Gervonta Davis and
Gamboa.
I think Gamboa was been out. I think they're just handpicking them right now. They shouldn't be doing that. Gamboa's done.
What do you think about that?
I don't know, man. Gamboa, I actually tweeted, and I on Twitter, and I tagged Gervonta Davis in it. I said, man, listen, y'all counting on Gamboa out, but Gamboa, he gave Terrence Crawford to this day. And the voice of Deontay Wilder, his hardest fight. And so, I say, man, y'all can't
how
be talking
long
about
ago was
maybe,
that?
It might be a good fight. And
how
yeah,
long ago
and
was
so
that?
Gervonta Davis, he put LOL, like, yeah, okay, laugh out loud. Hey, but,
yeah.
time ain't on nobody's side. You could look back
in the beginning or the end. So, I mean, it's been a little while, but, I got a little late start. And I won a world title at the age of 41, and he's a lot younger than that.
Yeah. Well, he's been beat on a lot too, man, and that takes a wear and tear on you. And I mean, not just because I'm from Baltimore and he's from Baltimore. This Gervonta Davis is one bad dude, man.
I knew it was somebody stuff going on up in this boy. I knew it. It's that Baltimore connection. Okay.
Yeah, man. We got some badasses coming out of here right now.
AB, all about Baltimore. That's good.
So, Jake, you spoke about Trump. I don't know whether he's got any thing coming up soon, but when you look at the fight now, of course, everybody once again is talking about Lomachenko and Tank. As you look at Tank's growth and you look at the way Lomachenko has been fighting his past three fights at least, what do you think? Would you give Tank more of a chance now? Do you think that perhaps people are starting to catch a little bit more on to Lomachenko? Or is Lomachenko, that badass that everybody thinks he is?
He's one of the best I've ever seen, man. I've never seen – I mean, he's so slick, and he just knows where to be, where how to get around, when to throw the punches, when to move, and he makes it look so easy. I'd love to see that fight, man. Now, that's the fight. That's the fight I think everybody would love to see and pay big money for. But I'd have to give the edge to Lomachenko right now.
Hey, Jake, them guys are not going to put Shane Davis in the ring with Lomachenko until they feel like he's almost dead.
Yeah, you're damn right. We're going to have to wait for a long time for that fight.
Right.
You're so
right. As soon as Triple G slowed down, man, Oscar done put Canelo in there with him so quick.
Yep, right away. It's the game. It's how
right
it works.
Away. As soon as Sergey Kovalev looked like he was about done, what did Canelo
yep.
do? Jump right up there for
him. I'm the cash out. It's called cashing
exactly.
out.
So they're taking a
yep.
blueprint from, you know, your boy, Floyd Mayweather. He bought Shane
yep.
Mosley when Shane Mosley was about done. Yeah. Zab Judah, when Zab Judah wasn't the same. Miguel Cotto.
Yep.
So, you know, you learn from the best. To beat the best, you got to learn from the best.
That's it, man. The game's always been like
best.
That.
Absolutely.
But sometimes they shock you. Like, you know, like Ali. Ali would shock you. You'd think he was done, and he'd pull something out of his ass.
Absolutely.
Mayweather. Yeah. Mayweather, they thought was done. He'd always pull something out of his ass.
Right, right. Yeah, Mayweather, man. Mayweather, so now he's kicking the public again like he's coming back. Mayweather ain't coming back unless he can fight somebody with a whole bunch of Instagram followers who can't fight a lick.
Yep. Yep. And it's going to be an easy win for him. He might be going to China or somewhere and doing it again.
Absolutely. But, hey, if the public don't pay for it, why not do it?
Yeah, hell yeah. Damn right. I'm all about that.
I want to
ask Jake something as a trainer, the same question that I asked Layman about Deontay making such a quick turnaround. Jake, as a trainer, if you had a trainer that fought as recently as Deontay, and now you're talking about a fight February 22nd, what changes do you think, I mean, or what? How would your preparation change, or would it, if your fighter was having a fight this quick, you know, after just defending his title?
Not many. I mean, he didn't really take too much of a beating at all. I mean, that's what you got to look at. And he didn't get back. I mean, it was just a good sparring session. I wouldn't change much around about him. I'll keep the same, maybe give him a week off and say, get your butt back in the gym and let's get this thing rolling again. Don't lose too much of a groove. Are you talking about for the Tyson Fury?
Yeah, is supposed to be already signed February 22nd.
The rematch?
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right now,
oh.
We're having a fight February 22nd, Tyson Fury against Deontay, already been signed. So far, you know, all we have to do is do the fights delivered. Coming from the other end, Tyson Fury, coming off of his last fight, Jake, a lot of scar tissue around that eye.
I would try to get Tyson another fight before he went in there with him. Just because of that fact of, you know, you're going to go into that fight hesitant with that eye like it is. You're going to be a little bit shell-shocked. He needs to go in and get some more rounds in. You know, somebody he can blast
right.
out in about six or seven rounds, but he just to get his confidence, take a few more punches, and then before he jumps into a Wilder like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Jake, you on it, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, and if I was Wilder's people, I would jump right on Fury. I would try to start it the way we just ended it. If not, it's going to be the same thing.
If I was Tyson Fury, I would prolong the fight. I would set the fight back in April sometime.
Yeah, put it off another. Get another stiff. Get somebody else that you can beat.
Absolutely.
And then go after Wilder.
Absolutely. Yep.
Stir the pot a little bit more. Get everybody into it just a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you're right, though. That tissue might open up, you know, because it ain't going to heal fast.
You know Wilder's going for that. He's going straight after that. He's going to crack go right
absolutely.
After that eye.
Absolutely. And he a big boy. And we ain't talking about little bitty guys. We talking about some big boys, man. That guy can hit you from across the street.
Yeah, and that was a nasty cut, too, man. That was a huge cut. Bad. Career-ending cut.
Yeah. I think If it had been anybody else but Tyson Fury, they'd have probably stopped that fight.
Ain't no doubt.
You know what, too, though?
No doubt.
You know, another thing, too, though, JK, is that, you know, you saying, like, you know, that's a quick turnaround. Man, February ain't no quick turnaround. He get a chance to fight again February 22nd. We are not even in December yet. December?
Yeah,
January,
I don't think it's that quick of a turnaround.
That's,
I think
that
it's a good
length
for Wilder. But Fury needs another
Wilder,
fight,
Wilder,
man.
Wilder did not get beat up. He did not get cut. He will be well rested in 1 week. In 2-3 days, he'll be ready to fight.
Yep. Yeah, right. No doubt. Yep. He didn't take any good cracks.
No.
Yeah,
no, he will be ready.
The only thing that hurt was his right hand. That's about it.
I thought he hurt that. He just, that
hey,
felt good.
Jaw.
He felt that all the way down to his toes, man. He was like, oh, no, yeah, got him. He set that up the whole time. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jake, I know it's still kind of early, and you did say you had some things coming up this weekend at the Horseshoe. So you've already had your holidays planned out for you. Have you got any plans for 2020? And anybody, you've already mentioned two of your fighters that your amateur guys that we should be looking at. So anyone else, you know, that you might have come over? Didn't you have a young lady down there in Baltimore too?
Yeah, but she's not panning out the way I was hoping she would. But you know, that happens. She's,
oh,
you know, father time. Like we were just talking, father time doesn't slow down for nobody.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, but they come, they go, they come, they go. You know, we do have, like, we're really focusing on the amateurs here. We got a real good amateur program going on in Baltimore, and that value, you know, that eventually comes around to the pros being really good. So that's where we stand right now with that. And I got some badasses coming up.
Now, we talked to one of your right-hand guys, Mr. Vesey, Joel. Is he a permanent part of your amateur program now?
Yeah, he's one of my head trainers. He's doing great with the with the training aspect of it, and he's training himself now because he just got himself back. His arm was hurt a little bit. It spanned down from his neck all the way down to his arm. We got people looking at him, so he should be back in February. And we got a whole little breed of younger guys coming up right now. It's just, you know, it's always, you know, exciting waiting for them to happen. We hope to God that it does happen, that they become something big, you know.
So are you going to take your two guys down to St. Charles?
I got to check it out. I told everybody to wait until this show's over with tomorrow night. We're going to sit down and discuss what we're doing. But, yeah, I mean, what's that, Louisiana? St. Charles, Louisiana? What is that, Olympic trial?
Yeah, that's
a qualifier?
That's the qualifier.
That's the last one?
K-9, you know more about that. Is your son going to be there too? Where's K-9?
Yeah. I was doing one of your numbers. I was falling asleep. I was playing.
Come on, man.
Hey, no. December, you know, my son got sick. He got sick, so he's just not recovering. So, no, we won't even go. We won't even be at the qualifiers. I believe it's December the 7th.
Oh, it's
December the
7th.
I mean, yeah, not the qualifiers, but actually Olympic trials. Yeah, Olympic trials.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I guess that's
no
all over
here.
For. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all
over.
Never. So somebody about to change their life, boy.
Yeah, man, no doubt.
Yeah, you going to be there, Jake?
Nah, it doesn't look like it, man. I didn't know it was that soon. But yeah,
it's
I'm not going.
Man, yeah, it's about to be. It's going down. I think I'll get my son ready for 4 years from now, the next Olympics, if he's not already about turned pro. Yeah, you know,
right.
He's kind of young. He's kind of young, and he's just not really getting his feet wet. So, you know, I don't want to just put him out there and push him out there just for my own being, you know. I want to give him a chance
to
actually
work. Smart move. That's how I tell these amateurs are also anxious to turn pros. Like, just wait, because once you turn pro, and if you're not with the right promoter and the right people, you're not going to have any fights or you're going to be an opponent.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you just said that, because a young man actually turned pro, and he's a good fighter, but I don't feel like he should have turned pro just yet. He fought on at the casino, and he won, but he had it was a rough fight. And you know, he got a fan. He got a following. He got a lot of followers, you know, a lot of fans, but you know, if he could have just waited, he wouldn't have to fight at the club show, you know what I mean, or at the casino. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good little look because you're fighting at home, but how much did you get paid for that? You know what I mean? You know, who'd you sign
struggle,
with
man.
The GoPro? Right.
Right.
No money involved.
I mean,
you put your life on the
line.
And
when you're
good,
I mean, you better be great for a big promoter to come down and swoop you up if you don't sign already with them. If you're good, then you don't fight because nobody wants to put you in with them. They don't want to put their guy, take a risk on something like that.
That's right. That's why you got to have a promoter that's going to pay you, look out for you. If you have to buy your fights, buy the fights, you know what I'm saying? Put you on all these different cards versus you just trying to get on these cards.
Keep you active, keep you
nowadays,
busy.
Nowadays, in these cards, people are selling tickets. Now, you got to sell your own tickets. You can be on a show, if you can prove it, you can sell tickets. If you can't prove that people will come and support you and you can sell tickets, then you're going to be on a shelf. Or you better be signed with someone. A big company, a big promotion.
Or you're going to be getting your ass beat because they're going to put some money in, put you
in
way over your head.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. But you want to go pro so bad.
Yep. You want to tell everybody you're a professional boxer.
Catching a bus.
Yep.
I mean, you pro, shoot. A lot of pros, people don't realize in basketball, you turn pro, you making millions of dollars. In boxing, you turn pro, man, you might be catching a bus, or you might have a day job.
You might be paying out of your pocket.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And you're selling tickets. I know from experience. You know, I had to go through a lot. People be asking me, when you going pro? Like, I'm already pro. And then 5 minutes later, man, so when you say you going pro again? Like, I'm already pro. Like, you sure? I'm sure. They expected me to have money. I had to work my way up. I guess that's why you don't have to have the education to be a boxer.
I love that show you were on. That helped a whole lot.
Grab
the fighters and showcase them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yep. You remember that bark? You remember that bark, huh?
I remember. Hell yeah.
Right.
And you had something catchy there, too, man. It made the public want it. Damn right.
Absolutely. I wish Instagram was out.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
I would be verified. Exactly. But it's all good. I did it long. You know me. The real ones know. They know what time it is. All right. Dog pound the building board. We gonna update them.
Guys, what do you think about? You know, we always talk about the future of boxing. We always talk about the Olympics and things like this. But as a neighborhood, you know, where we used to see the gyms and things like that, we've seen a steadily decline. Of boxing gyms in certain areas, especially within the hood. We still see a lot of them in the barrio. We still see a lot in some of the Latin American communities, but not so much in the black communities, not so much in the lowest class communities like we used to see. We gave a kid, you know, he had another option. He was going back like this. With all the social media and everything, why haven't we used that as a tool in order for us to promote our amateurs and keep our amateur program alive? We all know the power of social media. Why haven't we used the power of why haven't we used it proficiently when it comes to our amateur boxing program?
I see it as people are making money off of it now because it's such a fitness fad. I think it's going to be around for a long time. It's always been around. But now, really, all the yuppies are starting to get into it now. And they got money, and they'll pay a trainer. Instead of you get a kid that comes in the gym and got shit, and he can't afford to pay anything, then you got some little rich guy come in there and going, hey, man, I'm going to pay you $100 an hour. Sorry, man, I got a good jump on that guy's giving me $100 an hour. It's unfortunate. Recreation and parks should really get involved a little bit more, but they're kind of fading away from that part of it.
Right, right. Insurance and different things like that, you know.
The whole nine
that,
yards,
that was,
man.
You know, that was one of the things that was cited. K-9, have you found it, you know, that way up north where you are? I mean, I know there are a ton of gyms in Boxer, you know, in Detroit and in Flint and, you know, but what about those cities like, you know, Ypsilanti or Milan some of the smaller cities? Have they phased boxing programs out now? The younger kids have to come to Detroit and bigger places?
Hey, you know what? Yeah, you know what? In the city of Detroit, you know, boxing, you know, it's stuck around. But it wasn't that many gyms until like 5, 6 years, 7 years ago. You know, Hands On had just came around. I mean, we still had Adam Bustle, but Adam Bustle wasn't doing anything anymore. You know, Crunks wasn't Crunks anymore because they closed Crunks down. So, you know, Crunks ended up being in a storefront. You know what I mean? But now, you know, in the last, you know, 6 to 5, 6, 7 years, man, we got a gang of gyms. We got Hands On. We got Tony Harrison, his gym. We got Bustles. We got the Dynamic. I mean, we got gyms all over the world. We got World's Best. I mean, man, we got them everywhere now, man. Everywhere.
Yeah, don't they cater? They cater to a lot of the fitness aspect of it, not the fight. Just the when I came up
Absolutely.
In boxing, when I was fighting, it was all just fighters in there. It was a nobody in there trying to get on a treadmill and do, you know, look fancy. It was fighters.
Yeah.
You came into a gym and fought. Now it's more like, you know, okay, let's go get the treadmill. Let's go do a couple laps of swimming and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But you know what? To be honest with you, boxing don't pay the bills for most of these gyms. You don't have a world champion in every city that's in the hood. You know, when they make that money, they leave the hood. You know, they in Bloomfield Hill somewhere. So in the hood, you know, you got to pay the bills. And these guys come paying $30 a month for a membership is not paying the bills. So you got to do something to make up for the bills. You got to do the personal training. So now you got somebody paying you $30 an hour, $43 an hour, $100 an hour. Oh, man. Now you can keep the lights on and you can continue to have the gym running.
Yep. That's it, man. So right. That's and everybody's jacking their bills up now. You can't find a gym in a decent neighborhood that's, you know, cheap. Pay off your ass
And it's big money in fitness now, man. I mean, and the crazy part about it is like the majority of the people that own these boxing fitness places are not even real boxers, but making more money than actual boxers.
Oh, it kills me, man. It's heartbreaking.
Exactly. I had a boss. You know, we'd say he was my boss. You know what I mean? Even though, you know, I was a freelancer and I was, you know, working part-time. Anyway, he's an Indian, and he has over 400 members at his title boxing in Farmington Hills. It's the biggest title in the country. He has never threw a punch in his life and making like $500,000 to $800,000 a year off title boxing.
Yep.
He tells
off
you
of running with a bunch
K-9.
Of bullshit that he don't have. Yep.
He tell me all the time, K-9, I can't tell nobody how to throw a punch, but you're making $800,000 or $500,000 a year. That's big.
Right, exactly. He knows how to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Man.
Yeah.
Before
we let you go, we got to talk about Jamal, Charlo, and Tony Harrison. Are you looking forward to the rematch? And what do you think the outcome is going to be?
I got to go with Jamal, I guess, on that one. I think it's going to be a good fight again. I think it's going to be a great fight, but you got to Charlo.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, I hear you, Jake. You know, I hear Canaan over there gnashing his teeth, so we're glad to get you back on after that one. You know, Canaan is not going against Detroit. So you know,
I don't blame him. Good for him. Do it, man. That fight's a flip of a coin, too. I'm guessing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. It's going to be a great fight, I believe, you know?
Oh, yeah. Heck,
I mean,
yeah.
Yep, if Tony Harrison can stick, use that jab and get that respect in the beginning, or take it to Charlo, man, he can make the fight a lot easier than it has to be. But if Charlo goes out there and be aggressive and Tony Harrison can't keep him off of him, then it could be a long, hard fight for Tony. So Tony,
yeah,
all he has to do is get some respect. He already winning when it comes
gate,
to when he's winning already when it comes to, you know, getting in Charlo's head in the press conferences. Now,
he's good at that kind of crap.
Huh?
He's got to jump on him right away. He's got to hurt him. He's got to get that respect. Just like you said, he's got to get that respect from him right away. Take it from him.
Absolutely.
Even if he's got to rough him up, throw a little shoulders a little bit, spin him around, throw him in the road. He's got to get it from him.
I talked to him the other day and told him that's exactly what you got to do. You got to let him know that it's real. Everything I said in the press conference, I mean. Because you know Charlo going to try to be rough for him. He's going to try to go out there, come here, and use little dirty tactics to kind of try like, you know, to tell him, to show him that he's the boss. And Tony got to let him know, no, bro. I'm the boss.
I'm the boss. I got this shit. Yep. No, yep.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Yep. Love it, man.
Yeah, I know a little bit. A little bit about this.
Yeah, a little bit. You've been around a little while.
A little while, right. Not as long as JK, but, you know, a little something.
Hey.
JK, I can fart more about boxing than you.
Hey.
Oh, man.
But, hey, guys, Jake, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, man. And always, we love your comments. So why don't you tell everybody, any final thoughts you got, your social media, you already talked about tomorrow night, but for some of our listeners, you might want to give them the time and place also.
Yeah, well, it's looking like it's going to be sold out, man. Thank God. It's at the Horseshoe Casino in Baltimore, Maryland, and I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas and happy holidays, all that good stuff coming up this year. I can't wait for all that crap to be over so I can get back on my track again. And on February 8th, I'm back at the Horseshoe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we look forward to getting down there. It's the area, man, and getting a chance to see some of you guys in Baltimore, getting to see some faces this year, 2020. So thank you so much, Jake. We appreciate your time, my man.
Hey, man. Appreciate you having me on
Jake,
your old
man.
Time.
Much K-9, love,
man, good talking to you again, man. Always,
nice
man.
Talking to you too.
Talk to you soon, all right?
Okay, buddy. Take it easy. All right.
All right, guys. See y'all later. Bye-bye.
Okay, buddy. All right, bye-bye. Yep.
Well,
yeah.
K-9.
Yes,
hey, man.
Yes. Great show.
It's getting down close for the amateurs. We're getting some good fights at the end of the year. What were you saying about little K-9? He got hurt or something?
Yeah. No, he just he hasn't been feeling well. You know, it seemed like when the weather changed, you know, he ended up catching colds and stuff. So you know, gotta keep him. A lot of vitamin C. You need to get that vitamin C in his body, man. So he got a little sick, man, and caught a cold and was having migraines. So he was missing some days in school and everything. He's just not starting to get his strength back up. So he missed a few fights and probably needed some rest because he's been training and been fighting a lot this year. I'm talking about he had 18 fights this year alone. Man, I was fighting once a year. So it'd take me 18 years to get 18 fights. So I was letting him rest a little bit, man. And we're going to work hard and go hard and you know, the new year, 2020. I might let him get a fight in December, maybe one or two fights in December, maybe. But I'm going to let him, you know, get built up, let him, you know, relax, rest, and get strong for next year.
Okay, well, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Speaking of things, all things Detroit, I know it's not scheduled for Detroit, or maybe it is, but have you heard anything about when Clarissa Shields is getting back in the ring and where?
Yes, Clarissa Shields, yes, definitely. She'll actually be back in the ring, I believe it's January the 10th on Showtime. So she would actually be fighting against the young lady she was going to fight the first time. So, you know, look forward to that fight. It's January the 10th. You know, January 10th, you know, they finally going to fight. And she's looking to be the first, not only female, but the first athlete in boxing to win, what, 4 world titles in the shortest time. So, you know, look forward to that fight. And I believe she's going to do well. I actually did a video about her, you know, being a, you know, from Michigan, and you know, if all the fans want to check it out, it's actually on Salida Promotions on his YouTube channel, and you know, I think I did a good job, you know, I got a few pats on my back, so you know, check that video out, you know. Clarissa, she's like taking her world by storm in the boxing game. I don't think she gets the credit that she deserves. You know, with only like what, 7 pro fights? Oh no, I'm 9 pro fights. She's 9-0, and only having 9 fights. Just look at her record and look at who she fought. She done won 3, 4, 5 world titles in 9 fights. She done fought on Showtime, and what, 3, 4, 5 times in her 9 fights. She done fought undefeated people in her 9 fights. She done did a whole lot in 9 fights. No other fighter has ever did the things she's done in 9 fights. And now she's about to become the fastest fighter, not just female, male fighter, to become a world champion, to break the record. I don't know who has the record, but she's going to actually break the record and be the, you know, the fastest to win 4 world titles. And that's unbelievable, you know what I mean? So some people might say, well, she's only fighting 2-minute rounds. It don't matter. 2-minute rounds are harder than 3-minute rounds because you only get 2 minutes to make an impression. You know what I'm saying? So actually, 2-minute rounds are harder than 3-minute rounds. I think if females start fighting 3-minute rounds, they're relaxed more knowing that they got an extra minute, so they're going to pace themselves. So to me, 2-minute rounds makes it even. She should get a pat on her back, and she should get more credit for 2-minute rounds than she do 3. And how many people you know that had an amateur record of 77 wins with only 1 loss? Let me rewind that. 77 wins with 1 loss. So, you know, I'm not just saying that because she's from Michigan. You know what I'm saying? But that's just unheard of, and that's incredible, and she should get the clout and the credit that she deserves. At K9 Boxing, on a dog pound. And Earth. JK the building.
K9, you know, one thing that kind of amazed me, man, you know, I was looking at the construction for this Andy Ruiz fight. Do you realize they put up a 15,000-seat stadium in the middle of the damn desert, man?
Wow.
15,000.
Yeah. Wow.
But,
wow.
It just goes.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, when you think of it, I mean, how many more fights are there going to be, you know, out here in the Arab Emirates? How many fights are we going to have that's going to justify that venue? But when you have that much money, that oil
absolutely
money goes a long way.
Man, listen.
So,
I will fight you in your backyard for $100 million. Hey, just put the ring up. Make sure it's fair. I won't go to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
So, hey, let's do it. Let's
we can
do
go
it
in your room.
Real.
It don't make no
man
sense.
For $100 million. Exactly. Exactly. So, Saudi Arabia, wait, I'm coming to see you. Hey. Like, who's that? Fred Safford. I'm coming to join you. The big one.
It's a big one.
Man, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, man, for real.
We talked about the big heavyweight fight, but did you see the Luis Santa Cruz fight?
Yeah, I did. I did see it.
Okay.
Yeah, he did good. He did you see it?
But wait, I did see it. But wait a minute, the guy that he fought, Miguel Flores. Now Miguel's good friend of the show. We had Miguel on the show before he became contender and whatnot. Good young man. But he's not the same caliber as Leo Santa Cruz.
No, he isn't.
To me, this was a rematch of the Canelo Kovalev fight. You have one fighter that was expected to win. And it was purely for getting a title that actually doesn't mean that much to him, because now he's got four different divisions, but like Canelo, he's not going to defend that title. So what is actually? I mean, you know, Canelo now. Okay, there's a lot of fights open for him. He could fight Benavidez. He could fight Duvall if he wanted to go back to the light heavyweights. But we know those guys hit much, much too hard for him. He could go to Charlo's, but Charlo doesn't put butts in seats. He could have a triple fight, and he could have another fight with Triple G. But right now, there's some easier fights for him than Triple G. I would say he might meet Triple G when Triple G is another year older and a quick knockout, like you pointed out, with Floyd and some of the guys that he's fought in the latter part of their career. So there's a chance that there could be a trilogy with him and Triple G. But you talk about $365 million. Do you really think that they're going to put Canelo in any fight where he has a legitimate chance to lose?
Absolutely no. I believe Oscar De La Hoya is the best promoter in the game because of what he's doing in Canelo Alvarez's career. He put him in there with Floyd Money Mayweather. Win, lose, or draw, he wasn't going to get knocked out because Floyd's hands are fragile. I think that Floyd was a little older, and at the same time, he was a smaller man fighting against a younger man who didn't have enough experience. So it was a win-win for both guys. At the same time, Canelo was able to get the crowd that Floyd has from him fighting Floyd. So that was genius. So that was a win-win situation for Oscar De La Hoya and Canelo. Right after that, Canelo gained all that experience. Didn't have to worry about getting knocked out, but he was in there with one of the best fighters of all time. From there on out, man, listen, he done went and fought everybody. I'm talking about from Miguel Cotto. But of course, it wasn't the same Miguel Cotto, but it was still Miguel Cotto who still has something left. And he beat Miguel Cotto, gained some more experience. Then he fought Triple G when Triple G wasn't the same Triple G. And the first time, to be honest with you, I felt like Triple G won a fight. But he learned from that fight, fought Triple G again. Triple G was a little bit older, like you said. And fought Triple G like he was Triple G, Mexican style. He put on a big drama show and defeated Triple G fair and square. From there on out, he went and fought at 168 pounds and took a title against a guy, Joe Neckbone, somebody that we ain't never heard of, but it was a perfect person. And it gave him a lot of experience. And then he went from there, he went on up, like the Jeffersons, moving on up. So he went and fought Sergey Kovalev, who wasn't the same since he fought Andre Ward, who destroyed him with body shots. Canelo got in there and beat him. So Canelo could be the actual best Mexican fighter of all time. He's definitely right up there with Julio Cesar Chavez. I think as the best Mexican fighter of all time. I'm not going to say he's the, one of the best fighters of all time, but in his nationality and his race, or you know, he's definitely probably the best, if not the best. And he can fight a lot better now. I remember the time it was, you know, I had a good chance to fight him, and I felt like I would have beat him. But Oscar was smart. Never put him in there with me. When I knocked Corey Spinks out, I saw Oscar. He gave his matchmaker the shoulder. Like, nah, we're not about to fight K-9. No. We'll wait. And now, shoot, man, he'll give me problems. To be honest with you, I don't think I would be able to see him right now. Because he's gained a lot of experience. He's moved all the way up. This man is only 5'7", 5'8". And he's fighting giants and beating them. But he's fighting them at the right time. So, like I say, once again, we talked earlier. I said he ain't taking a blueprint from Floyd Mayweather. Fighting guys at the right time when they're not ready or when they're a little bit older and cashing out. Floyd fought Andre Berto at the right time. I mean, from fighter to fight, I'm telling you, man, it's a business, man. And people got to realize that boxing is business. It used to be the best fight the best. Not anymore. The best fight the best when they want to fight each other. Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fought each other at the time that neither one of them were the best anymore. Both of them are a lot older now. People just still want to see it. That's why to this day, as your man would say, Wilder, to this day, that's the biggest pay-per-view fight of all time. But were they the same? No. But was it a great, genius move? Yes. Al Heyman, man, is the smartest businessman in boxing right now. Made the most money for the fight that was not the same. Just think, we would have got a better fight, but they would have got less money if they'd have fought 15, 20 years ago. But instead, they got more money, and they were older, and it wasn't the best fight that we could have got for them too. So I understand it's business now. Just think about it. We had KRS-One, KSI versus Logan, two YouTubers who were main event and sold out. Because they got followers. Business. Man, we would have never had them guys 20 years ago as the main event. They wouldn't have been able to fight. First of all, we ain't had Instagram, so they definitely wouldn't have fought. But, man, streaming and social media is the way to go now. If you got fans, and just look at Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, he done got better now, but just because he has fans, he's making money. But now, you know, he's, like I say, he's taking boxing serious, and he done got a lot better now. But it was because of his popularity, his followers, that put him in the position he in.
Yeah, but you know, maybe if he didn't have those followers, he might not have progressed either. But you spoke about money, and one thing I want to ask you about, because this to me is purely about money. And, you know, we talk about safety and everything like we always have. And the fight might not take place. But I'm talking about the Chavez and Danny Jacobs. Now, Chavez, once again, the Nevada Boxing Commission has refused to give him a license. So this fight is in Arizona. But the thing is that Chavez refuses to take a drug test. So if Danny is still going to fight him, is this a money factor? I mean, I don't see what other than the pick up a paycheck, what is the use of Danny fighting Chavez Jr.?
Yeah, I believe that Chavez, I believe that they done found him where he can't fight. I have to look back into that story because it was one thing said that it was something else said. So I think they're going to actually fight in a different city that will allow them to fight. Because I think in California.
That's Arizona. That's Arizona.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. You know, if a fighter can't fight in one state, shouldn't he be banned in all the states? I mean, you know, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the loopholes that boxing has. Boxing has a lot of loopholes. Just think about this. Al Haymon is an advisor, but he's promoting fights, but just not using his name. So under the Muhammad Ali Act, he cannot be a promoter or a manager or an advisor all at the same time. So what does he do? He hires promoters at those shows because he's actually an advisor, even though he's acting as a manager, but he's up under an advisor. So all these loopholes that, you know, smart people like Al Haymon would do to get over or to be able to conduct his business and do what he do, I mean, it's just genius. I mean, how can you knock him for it? The man he's actually helped the sport of boxing because I know he's the one that started giving these fighters the money that they're supposed to get. I made the most money I ever made in the sport of boxing, and I lost the fight because of Al Haymon. So for people to hate on this guy,
hey,
what do you say? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't hate on this guy. This guy was feeding people, man, you know?
Hey, like Patty always says, how you going to hate a man that's giving you a paycheck? You know who's fighting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Only in America. As Don would say, RK9, man, come on back home, man. I love you, man. Tell your beautiful family, man. I said, I love you, man. Come on back home. That's your man, Don. And my Don impersonation. Right. Yeah, man, you still, you know, K9's a good fighter, you know, so I always know you're doing it. Just a young man right now, just let it break. So by the time K9, you know, that's my, you always been crunky, always been crunky. You're JK, you know what I'm saying? You're doing a good job, man. I love the show. Yo, go, dog pound.
Yeah. I still got some archives with Emmanuel on them. But, hey,
yeah,
man, you know what time it is, though, right?
Ah, it's dog pound time. Ah, K-9's corner, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
What's going on? What's going on? It's 2 days before Thanksgiving, big family holiday. We've had some great bouts, and we're going to have some great bouts in December. So what's going on in K-9's corner for this special Thanksgiving evening?
Man, you know, first of all, I want to say, man, that, you know, happy Thanksgiving to, you know, all the listeners, man, that's been supporting us, and we appreciate y'all. Keep supporting the show. Keep supporting boxing. We could be nowhere or do nothing without you guys. So, you know, keep supporting boxing. Keep supporting the Dog Pound, the Pugilist Corner. On Sunday, what is that again that y'all, what's the show called again on Sunday? The Weekend. The Rick and Rap, all that, man. Just support boxing, man. Support boxing. You know, Showtime or ESPN, The Zone, ITV, Sky Sports, all that, man. I just want to say that. You know, earlier today, you know, I was passing out turkeys, man. You know, and you know, it was just a blessing, man, just to be giving back, man. Me, you know, Big Sean. You know, he's a famous rapper that a lot of, you know, the kids and a lot of people know who he is. Like, so Big Sean was passing out. Good friend of mine, Derek Coleman, you know, he played in the NBA. He was actually the first guy to get the first biggest big check when it was first started giving out money like that. Yeah, so Derek Coleman and Big Sean and me and my buddy Paul, former FBI. So it was a lot of, you know, celebrities and good people, man, that was actually pitching in and giving back to the community.
Was Antonio Gates there? I know he has a big following there in Detroit. He always gives back.
Yeah, I don't know what. Maybe he got there right before I left or something. Or maybe came after I left. Before I got there. Gary Payton was there too, though. Gary Payton, you know, played with the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah.
He was actually there too, though. And, you know, and it was another guy. You know, I didn't even know he was on. He was an actor, but, you know, I saw people signing. He was signing autographs, so I said, well, this guy must be somebody. So come to find out, he's an actor, doctor something. He plays on. He's on ABC. So, you know, I just wanted to, just shout out that man and let people know that man. Give back, man. You know what I'm saying? There's people out here that's less fortunate, and you know we all need help. Somebody needs somebody. You remember that? Lean on me. If somebody try to lean on you, man, you know, a lot of them lean on you, man, and you know help out. But yeah, man. So you know, at K9's Corner, man, I just want to say, you know, don't bark if you can't bite. You know, it's a lot of people that may come into the ring, man. You know, talking all this good talk about what they gonna do and that this and that, that and this. And I just can't stand when guys come into the ring, man, be dancing and go out there and stink the place up, go out there and get knocked out. So, you know, all that barking, man, you know, say that for the ring, because afterwards, you know what I'm saying, you know, you win, it looks real good. But if you go out there, you don't look good and you don't do good, oh man, it just don't look good at all. So you're on social media and you showing your workouts. Are you hitting the bag? Like, you know, what else are you doing? Show the whole workout. Are you hitting the bag? You doing sit-ups? Just show your sparring. You know what I mean? So majority of the guys that showing their sparring are showing their sparring against guys that they know they can't fight. I mean, show your sparring when you in there with a top guy. Quit tricking the public. You know what I mean? I mean, majority of the fighters that's really good fighters are not going to show they sparring. Have you ever saw Floyd Mayweather real sparring? Have you ever saw him in there in the ring against a top-notch sparring partner? Maybe once in your whole lifetime you may have saw him in there with a top guy, because he keeps that stuff low-key. So the great fighters, the super great fighters, are not really showing they sparring. So you see all these sparring with all these fighters in here sparring with each other, beating up on people. They beat up on people that really can't really fight. Real true champions, you know, what goes on in the gym stays in the gym. They ain't gonna really put their business out there. You start seeing a lot of my sparring as it got, you know, close to the end of my career. I wasn't putting it out there because it ain't your business, you know. I ain't about to snitch on myself and show you my game plan and show you. I wanted them to think that I couldn't fight. I wanted them, you know, to take me light. And that's how I was able to sneak up on a lot of guys. So don't bark if you can't bite, man. And, you know, be low-key, you know what I mean? And be real. Be real. Quit faking a funk on a nasty dunk. Got people thinking that you better than what you really are. Come on, man. You need Facebook gangsters, man. Come on. Stop it. As you said in the gym, stop it. You know what I'm saying? Get in shape and train for real. Train for real. Learn, you know, do like Ryan Garcia. You got all them followers, man. And I feel like he was one of those guys that just, like, was a bunch of hype, but now he's taking it serious. So, I mean, if you can gain followers from faking it and making it, you know, eventually, man, you know, quit faking it and make it for real, man. You know, take it to the next level, because you can. Because with God, all things are possible on the dog pound. And you can find me at K9 Boxing on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and my website is K9-Boxing.com. And my YouTube channel is Slapping K9 Boxer. And don't forget to subscribe, share, like. And where can they find you at, James, before Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving when you ain't too busy?
You can find me on the Pugilist Corner on the Weekend Wrap on Facebook. We have another page now called Certified TV. It's by KO Publicity. You can find a lot of things about Team Certified. And look for a big announcement Friday for our coming Sturgis tournament. We're looking forward to that. It'll be the first program really promoted by Team Certified and Sturgis, Buffalo Chip. You can check out their page on Facebook, and they'll give you a list of the bands and the bouts that are going to be appearing. I think it's August 8th, Sturgis, South Dakota. So look forward to that. We're going to be all over the place. K9, you're going to be traveling. I'm going to be traveling. Let's make 2000 a great year. And hey, look forward to great things from the show. But in the meantime, we want everybody to have a safe this holiday.
Yes. Shout out to Nick, too.
If it's at all possible, try to find someone that's out there, someone that's homeless, someone that doesn't have as much as you do. If you can't do anything, we'll buy them a cup of coffee. Keep them out of the cold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I give two more shout-outs, though? Two more shout-outs James, too. I want to shout out Annette for the sparring that we did tonight. It was her first time going 20 minutes straight. Yay, Annette. And I want to shout out Mac. He going to get that work tomorrow, 30 minutes straight at K9 Boxer. Oh, my God.
All right, man. Well, hey, good talking to you as usual, man. I hope you and the family have a safe and happy holiday, man. And look forward to talking to you after the holidays, man.
All right, King. JK. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Have a great night, everyone. We'll talk to you after the holidays.
Oh.